welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Justin.
I'm Tommy.
And I'm Philip.
All right, let's get started.
I can't believe it. You're back.
Who are you?
Justin's back in the house.
I'm back.
He's back.
I'm back. We traded out Jeff, and he's somewhere with a lumpy rug.
So, you know, Jeff is already missing us because he tried to call me, and I declined.
Yeah, he should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know who it was. I assumed it was Jeff.
If you're not here, you can't be here. Down rolls, Jeff.
So, I will tell you this, Philip, we've had a number of applications come in to fill Justin's spot over the last several months, but you're the returning, you're like the three-time returning.
I mean, I pretty much feel like I am Justin at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do the applications come into? I know they come in the email. There's been zero emails.
There's been one email there we found in the spam folder.
Yeah.
And it was flagged as a hoax.
Yeah.
Phishing.
Phishing.
Yeah.
Phishing alert. Yeah.
And it was because of poor grammar.
Yeah, poor grammar. Hi, guy. Yeah. We know you're out there, Amanda.
No, we really appreciate the email. Yeah. We do.
Hang on, hang on. Okay. You said the email. We only get one. We've gotten like a handful.
There's been a couple. Some of them are like test emails from me to make sure it still works.
Hey, that counts as activity.
But, you know, for the last year, we were giving the wrong email address out. No. You know, so apparently emails don't start with www.
They do not.
No. So.
Yeah, well, we can't do like VSP at Gmail. Isn't that like vision something? Isn't
well,
like
a vision plan? We checked all kind of stuff, and we just, we landed on vertical.shift.podcast@gmail.com.
So if you've got 20 minutes to type in the address, send us an email.
Yeah. So we are still looking for emails, people to come and email us and let us know that they're listening and what we can do better and any topics that you want us to talk about, we
welcome it.
Love to hear from you.
Yeah.
So, Justin, I'm so glad you're back.
Cause, what have y'all been doing?
We've been making a mess of things. It's like a train wreck on the board for sure. But thankful for Philip and people like him who have graciously donated their time and certainly sharing their story.
Well, if there can be a good wreck of things, it's like one of those things you cannot look away. I've listened to every episode. So
yeah,
y'all been doing great.
No, it's good. I get people that will message me. It's like, man, I really enjoy, or especially if we miss, we've tried to be a release every Monday. But somebody in the room, I won't say any names, sometimes doesn't release the episodes.
Life happens.
He's a very, very important man.
Yeah. He is.
I mean, at the end of the day, life happens, which I think speaks to our authentic side of things.
That's right. No, it does. But point is that people are listening, like they're waiting for these to drop.
Yeah.
And when they don't, I'll get a text message or I'll get an email or Teams message from work. People at my work listen. It's fun though. It's fun to then when you run across somebody who you didn't think listened, and then they're like, "Hey, I heard your podcast. Oh, you listen? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay." So I've gotten a lot of good feedback. Just interesting. Philip, you have an interesting story. A lot of action. I mean, there's a lot of action. The reality is a lot of people can relate, whether it's not just a direct reflection. The whole point is we're all in this journey to find our purpose and to find meaning and to understand how do we really fulfill these desires that we have, as a human. We're built with automatic desire for something, and we have to, as we go on this journey, to figure out that desire really can only be met through the relationship with God. That's how we get all of these stories, and then God uses those testimonies for His glory, obviously. So when people can hear, when people hear the stories like yours, like mine, like Justin's and Jeff's, and all the other ones that we've had on that we'll continue to have, the spotlight is on God and how He works in our lives. And it helps people to A, realize they're not the only one, that there are other people who have struggled and struggle with things, and sometimes it's different. They struggle with different things, but it's all rooted in the same. We're once separated from God, and we're longing for some connection to something, and once we have to figure out that, hey, that connection is to God, you know, it's that journey to find that place.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's such an important part is the when we share, we kind of take ourselves out of the darkness, and you know, that's where the enemy wins, is in the darkness. When we keep it to ourselves and we hide in ourselves and we kind of, you know, seclude ourselves from other people, that's where he wins. But when we open those doors and we start to share our story, even the hurtful parts, even the parts that don't make us look so good, but make God look awesome, that's when other people can step out of their darkness and realize, hey, there's a community and I'm not alone in this. And there's other people that, you know, maybe I'm not quite there yet, but I can see what God's done, and it gives us hope and it gives us people to reach out to. And that's so, so important.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, and God or Satan will use that, just that whole lie that, you should be ashamed that you're this way, or, you know, embarrassed, or, you know, that was a lot of my story, was having to, you know, really come to a crisis point of, hey, I have said a lot of things that would make some people think that I'm a believer. I knew a lot of answers, but I never had the heart transformation. I never surrendered my life to God and put him in control. I was still controlling things. And basically I was living a lie, but I was lying to myself a lot of those times. And then when the realization comes that because you're constantly questioning it, because the Holy Spirit's not going to let you sit idle when he's calling you, he's not going to let you sit comfortably. Things, you're going to be making decisions and choices that are bad. You're going to be paying the consequences for those, and you're getting yourself in a lot of problems. And the whole while, you know that the root is, hey, I'm still Lord of my own life. I haven't surrendered, but yet I was a deacon, but yet Pastor Steve thinks that I'm saved. And I told him about the time I went down front when I was a kid and was baptized at Bellevue Baptist Church and met Dr. Rogers. Like, I should be saved. Like, I can't go back.
I got to find my original card I filled out.
Yeah. I can't go back and tell them that all that's a lie. Mm. Well, yeah, you can, and you should,
right?
Because until you come to that realization, until that moment, and admit that, and that's where Satan wants to keep you in the dark. And so, you know, what's really cool is, look, I take that there is no, I had nothing to do with. You know, we as people have nothing to do with God's bringing people to salvation. Mm. We're just an instrument in his hand. We're just the clay, and we just have to be willing. And sometimes we're not even willing, but others will push us to do things. And, you know, this last couple of weeks ago, I had the awesome opportunity to participate in the baptism of one of our good friends, our brothers, Jeremy, who had just recently came to church and said, hey, I want to learn, or I want to be more involved with growing my faith. And just through that interaction, he was paired with me and Pat. Steve reached out, Jeff reached out, said, hey, you know, part of our launch group. So our church has a program called Launch for people who are interested in discipleship and being discipled and growing in their faith. And when he signed up for Launch, Steve asked me and Pat, would we step out of our group that we've been with since the beginning, 8 years or 9 years? And that was pretty uncomfortable. Like, I was very comfortable. You know, I mean, Justin, you're part of that original group. You know, we start like, I get to sit back and under, you know, just even under your leadership and under Jeff's leadership, like, it's comfortable to be led and to be taught, and okay, occasionally, you know, because I've been there so long, occasionally fill in. Mm-hmm. But now to be responsible, like for leading a couple other men mm-hmm. in their journey, I didn't want to do it. And I was very nervous. Like, I was just like, I'm not ready. And he was like, dude, you're ready. And, you know, and so just stepping out in faith, and, you know, it's not under my strength or my knowledge, but the Lord really provides that wisdom. But anyway, through that interaction with Jeremy, our stories collide. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know anything about this podcast until we meet. And then one of the other guys says, oh, he has a podcast. Like, you have a podcast?
Yeah.
And, he started listening to the podcast, and he just came back, you know, a couple of weeks later. So we meet each week and we're going through stuff. And a few weeks later, he comes back and he's telling us that, hey, what's the difference between surrender and salvation? Like, well, why are you asking that question? You know, mm-hmm. and you start very quickly in this conversation, as tears is coming to his eyes, you realize he's questioning the exact same things that I questioned, mm-hmm. you know, and he ended up in that moment, you know, saying, I'm done questioning, and dedicated his life, surrendered his life to the Lord in that moment. And so that was a very sweet moment for Pat and I to be a part of, to see that. We even joked later, was like, oh, this must be what Jeff feels like to be. That's Jeff.
What the pastor feels like, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Hey, look, and a shout out to Luke as an early listener of the podcast that, yeah. I like old Luke.
So I didn't even introduce him yet, but Luke is the other member of that group that in our launch program.
Yep.
Yeah. And he's been listening. So yeah, thank you for saying that, Justin, because it was in our first meeting that Luke said, hey, yeah, they have a podcast, and Jeremy didn't know about it. And he started listening. And so just those things, it's like our story, it's not really our story. It's about God's work and his redemptive work. And it just can give others inspiration and courage to say, hey, you know what? I am in a place that I know I don't belong, mm-hmm. and I need to step out, and I need to drop my barriers. I need to drop my defensive posture, because ultimately we have to be stripped away of everything in order for the Lord to rebuild us and really, mm-hmm. build us with his attributes and his characteristics. We all of us have to go, and all of him has to come. And so that was basically what Jeremy did. So then he's like, he wanted to be baptized. He wanted to get everything in order. And they asked Pat and I to join them in the baptistry, which I thought was a pretty cool thing. So,
yeah, no, it was a sweet moment, man. It was
for sure.
It was an awesome picture. You know, and look, all that is sweet stuff, man. I feel like we're doing Late Night with Tommy.
And this is not about me, for sure.
No, I'm kidding, man. Yeah.
People don't come here.
But I mean,
to me.
Where it ties in, though, is like everything you mentioned to this point, you know, kind of bringing Philip back for part three is like kind of, I think you mentioned kind of that call to
call
to ministry, right? Whether it's called to salvation or that kind of little bit of a higher calling, if we go biblically, like that call to ministry, pastoring, shepherding, leading, you know. It kind of comes full circle where we kind of look at it and go, man, given what you've shared up to this point, like, how did you get to that point where, like, man, this is what Philip, you're feeling called, led to do, you know?
So before he goes into that, we're going to recap just a little bit because it's been a little while. So Philip first talked about, you know, part one of his story was just him growing up and the struggles of battling demons and things that, you know, with devices and addictions and things like that, to then finding and coming to the Lord in a very, you know, powerful way of being in jail, incarcerated. And just at that moment you give up, like there's nothing left. You have mm-hmm. to say,
yeah.
you know, in that moment, that's kind of what I'm talking about. It's like, hey, there's nothing left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I may have said, I don't even know if I said it before, but I always wish I had that story where I could say, man, I came to Christ because I just was so overwhelming in love with him. The truth is, there was literally just nothing left.
Nothing else.
There was nothing else.
The picture, though, the whole time he's standing, here I am, come to me. You know, that's how mm-hmm. he is with us. So it's no surprise now that you, you know, for anyone listening, because this is part three, basically, you are full-time ministry.
Yep.
You are, this is what God called you to do, out of the jail cell into the church pew and beyond. Well, maybe not church pew, but
there's been a few pews in there. Okay, in right.
But
more chairs. But yeah.
I mean, it is 2025.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. But, you know, like, so Justin and I, you know, we are lay people. You know, we are, that means that we're good for nothing. Mm-hmm. And no. You are good, and you get paid to be good. So, okay. Can you do the drum beat?
I don't know where it is.
I do have to apologize off the rip. I'm sitting in Jeff's chair, and this is the squeakiest chair in existence right now. When I breathe, it squeaks.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's picking up in the microphone. It might pick up in the microphone.
Maybe slightly, but I mean, I think Jeff has a big comfy chair because he's got bad knees. So,
well, he's old.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he's out of shape too. I mean, let's just be honest. So that chair is probably
look at you trying to get it in while he's not here because you know he can't rebut back. Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
By the way, Tommy, looking good.
Thank you.
Yeah. You look like you lost some weight.
Well, I'm getting there.
Yeah,
it's working.
Yeah, it's showing.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, y'all. But so Philip, I'm interested, and I haven't heard the whole story, but I know a little bit though about the call to the ministry. Let's talk about.
Yeah, so obviously we talked about kind of up to the moment of salvation and kind of how that looked like. And so I mentioned to you guys the girl who's now my wife, Amber, who was a lot more dedicated than anybody else would have been, really stood by me through a lot of mess that I put her in. So after this salvation experience, we just wanted to do things the right way. We hadn't been doing things the right way up to this point, and you know, if we want God to bless things in our lives that we're doing, we need to do it His way. And so we really took a step back from the way our relationship had looked and wanted to get it right. Eventually, we get married. We end up in church, our first church as a couple, the first church that I attended as an actual Christian. Went to church my whole life, but first one I ever actually went to being saved. And we'd been there for a while, just kind of consuming off of the church growing and learning some things, and finally thought, you know, we need to give something back, right? We need to be doing something. And so as her and I prayed through, like, what does that look like? Where's the area where we could serve, where we could be impactful? And so we really prayed through it. And as we examined both of our lives, she's got a pretty interesting story too. And we thought, man, you know, that middle school, high school age, that was really where, like, things just kind of started to go crazy for both of us in very different ways. But so we really wanted to step into those moments for other people and kind of be that voice that we could have used. And not saying other people didn't step into those moments in our lives. Maybe we just weren't listening, but really just step into those areas of people's lives. And so we just started volunteering, had no idea what that meant at all.
Well, it means you don't get paid.
Yeah, it does mean you don't get paid. But so, I mean, we were just glorified like game supervisors to start.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to be in a small group. I didn't want to teach. I'm like, I'm just kind of learning all of this.
You were like the king of dodgeball. Yes. Yeah, there you go.
And just like with my own kids, I never let them win.
Right.
So.
But it teaches them character.
Yeah. Stuff, character oops, building. Headshot. Yeah. That's. So like I said, glorified game watchers for a while, but really started to grow and had some amazing people to pour into us, even in those roles, and kind of bring us along and kind of like your story, push us into places we didn't think that we were ready for, and we weren't. And we were never going to be in ourselves ready for those.
Right.
And just kind of equipping us and pushing us into places out of our comfort zone so that we would grow and ultimately move, find another great church. This whole time, you know, I told you before, my life was so unstable before Christ. I mean, I couldn't really keep a job for very long because of my addictions and all these other things. And so with my record, it was kind of hard to find steady employment. So I started, I was pretty handy. I started basically being a glorified handyman, doing some construction work for myself and others. And through God's blessing and us just working hard through the next 8 to 9 years, we ended up building our own company. We're building custom houses in North Georgia, had a GC license, several crews working for us. God really just kind of blessed what we were doing, even, you know, outside of the church, because we were trying to honor Him and what we did. And it brings to mind a verse that we actually read in a group earlier tonight. It's one of my favorite verses. And I loved it really my whole Christian life, but I underestimated it.
Mm-hmm.
So Joel 2:25, the beginning of that, says that God will restore the years that the locusts have eaten away. And in my life, I thought, okay, I'm in my 30s now. I've got a good job, got a family, like we got a house. That's God restoring, giving me some nice stuff. Like I don't have to, you know, just be the way I was. And I remember there was a time as we really started to progress in business where God just kind of was like, dude, get me out of the box. And he really showed me that what that means is that when God restores, he doesn't just give you some good things, like throw you a bone like a dog. Mm-hmm. What he does, he says, man, look, I can put you at 33, 34, 35 where you would have been if you'd have never made the choices you made. Mm-hmm. Like God's restoration was so much bigger than I even realized.
Right.
So we're looking at all of these things and just overwhelmed with just where God's brought us. Mm-hmm. Like a guy like me didn't deserve to have a wife and kids and a good life and people to trust me to come into their homes and, mm-hmm. and to do work. Like it was mind blowing. And so Amber ends up meeting this girl in a park who has a kid the same age as our oldest daughter, and they make friends and go on little play dates and things. Well, her husband is the pastor of a church. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be weird. So we do some things and we hang out together and you know, with the families. And it just so happens this church has a Bible college connected to it. And so he's like, oh, man, you should come. And I'm like, yeah, about that.
Just so happens, though.
Right? Yeah, just so happens. And I'm like, about that. I don't really like school. I didn't like it when I was in it. I'm really busy. I got a family. I'm running a business. School's also expensive. You know, my money needs to go to my family and those things. And so I had all these excuses. And God just started pushing me. Jody, the pastor, he let it go. He said it one time and really let it go, but God did not let it go. And I kept coming up with every excuse in the world while, listen, God, I know, but here's all my things. And everything I'd come up with, God's like, all right, listen, I'm just going to solve that problem for you. And he would solve it. And so I'd come up with another excuse and another one. And finally got to the point where I ran out of excuses. So I said, all right, I'll go. No idea why. So I started going to school. I loved it. It was actually really awesome.
How about that? You hear that, kids?
Yeah. As an adult and getting to go study, like I got to pick what I would study, yeah. Right? So it's like, all right, I get to study things I want to know. And, you know, when you're paying for it, you pay a little better attention to.
Right.
So I loved it. I was there for 2 years, really not even knowing why I'm here still. Just God really, really wanted me to go here, really pushed it. And so finally, I just asked Amber, I was like, yo, why am I doing this? She's like, I don't know. God told you to. And she's so much more holy than me. For her, that was enough. For me, I was like, I just want to know why.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, real quick. Are you like the oldest one in class, like in the school?
Actually, no. I was the second oldest. Average. No, oh. there was.
Say Bible colleges. You can imagine there's probably all different types.
That's probably true. But so, yeah. But you're in your, I'm just trying to get out. You're in mid-30s just about this time?
Early 30s. Okay. Yeah, early 30s. So I'm here and she's like, well, God told you to, that's why. And I'm like, yeah, but you know, why?
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I'm going to ask. And I started praying and
yeah. You know what happens when you ask?
Yeah, he tells you. So, but he didn't. And that was the thing. So I'm praying and he's like, just radio silence on that issue. So I was like, all right, I'm going to be super ambitious. I've never fasted in my life to this point. So I'm like, all right, what's a good fast? I start reading in the Bible. Oh, the Daniel fast is a good one. Let's do it for 40 days.
Oh, man.
Pretty ambitious.
Go big, go home.
Yeah. I lost a lot of weight. So Daniel fast basically means raw fruits and vegetables, just water, nothing else. You can have no preservatives, no wheat, no meat, no oil, nothing but just raw fruits and vegetables and water. So I was like, all right, 40
days.
Celery
and apples?
I mean, yeah, a lot of that stuff.
Bananas?
I mean, you can't even have canned vegetables. Like, it's bad. Yeah. So I'm doing this for 40 days, and I had different things I'm praying through, like 6 weeks. So each week I had a big topic I'm going to pray through, but overall it was, all right, God, why am I here? Like, why was this such a big deal? So we get through 6 weeks, and he still isn't answering me. And so I was just like, all right, God, well, I'm just going to keep eating like this until you tell me. And so day 42,
basically went on like the starvation, like the, what do you call that?
Like a protest.
Yeah. I mean, you should know in jail they do it.
Yeah. So I never did that. Okay, I mean, the food was pretty bad. I didn't eat
I know, but people do
I could
that,
see that too. Like, all right, Lord, you're not answering me. I'm going to keep not eating till you tell me. And it's like what Jacob with the bad hip or wrestled, right?
Yeah, wasn't letting go, right?
Not letting go, not letting go.
Yeah, so I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep doing this. And so day 42, 43, 44, 45. And I remember on day 46, Amber was gone somewhere. I don't even remember where she was, but I had to cook for the girls. And that night, I wouldn't even sit with them while they ate. Like, I cooked for them and put it on the table, and I just left.
Because, I mean, at this time, at some point, you got to just like, man.
Yeah.
Well, let me just smell it.
Break.
Yeah. Let me smell the food.
Yeah, and then I'm like, I'm cooking it, and that's the worst. And so so I leave it there at the table, and I just went in my room while they ate. And, I mean, I was just like, God, please, just like, I don't care. If it's at this point, because of my career choice, I was basically the maintenance guy at church. So I was like, if it's just that, cool. If it's cleaning toilets, I'm a Marine. I can clean really, really well. Like, that's fine. Like, I'm not above anything. Or if it's just you just wanted me to learn and there is no other purpose other than I need to know this. Like, just tell me something. I don't care. Whatever it is, just tell me. And then he told me. And I remember I thought I would be so relieved, and it was the opposite. And so he speaks to me, and I'm not going to tell you just yet what that was because I wouldn't tell anybody else either. And I remember I just felt so insecure. And I was like, God, you can't be wrong, but maybe you like called the wrong number. Like, you don't know me, I guess, if you're thinking this, because it's not about my past. Like, you know what I was thinking about this morning? Like today, like I'm not that guy. And so I was just kind of more upset, I guess, which is weird. And so Amber comes home and we had a deal. Whenever we broke the fast, we were going to go to our favorite restaurant. And so I said, all right, we can go this weekend.
It's like Sizzler.
It's a place called Fishtails.
Okay.
in Gainesville, Georgia.
All right.
Yeah.
Shout out to Fishtails.
Yeah. On the marina. Really all right, nice.
Sounds good.
They got some kind of guava butter bread. That's the guava favorite.
Let's move on because I don't eat a lot now because I'm trying to get my own journey here.
Definitely not guava butter bread.
No, man. That sounds
but
good.
So I said, all right, look, we're going to go this weekend. I'm done.
So
she's like, oh, good, man. So you got your answer. I was like, yes. And she's like, what was it? And I said, I'm not telling you. She just looks at me like I'm crazy. And I was like,
because
I'm not.
If you vocalize it, then
it's real.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't tell her. Well, the next day, my mentor, he's a pastor and his name's Wright Humble.
Oh, no way.
Like perfect pastor
name. Are you kidding me?
I swear that's his name.
We're going to fact check that. All right. Yep.
So he calls me at work and he's like, so I talked to Amber and she told me that you got your answer. And I was like, yeah, but before you ask, I'm not telling you either. And he's like, dude, come on. And so we talked for like an hour and finally I was like, all right, dude, I'll tell you. But I'm embarrassed. And he said, why are you embarrassed? I was like, you know, like I'm embarrassed for God. Like he can do better. And he says, well, before you tell me, I want to tell you something and you just need to not talk and listen, which not easy for me. And so he says, you know, Moses, and I interrupted him and didn't listen to what he said. And I was like, I know he stuttered and we're going to go through all. He was like, dude, I told you, just listen. He said, you remember the bush, right? This burning bush that talked to Moses and told him what he was going to do. Yeah, I know. He said, do you think the day before, like that was just the coolest bush in the desert? Like it was just the biggest, prettiest, most amazing bush. I was like, dude, I guess it was just a bush. He said, so what you're telling me is any old bush would do, it was the fire of God that made it special.
I'm telling you, that's
perfect timing.
That was good timing.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're back, Justin.
I planned that. You're welcome.
I'm glad you're back.
And I hung up.
I mean, that's all you can do. Because it's like if you're faced with that mic drop truth, like, what can you say?
Yeah, he just straight mic dropped me with the Bible.
Yeah, and you're just like, basically, you're just like, shut up.
Yeah, and so I just hung up.
That's the adult version of shut up.
Right. And so I got home that night. Amber's like, did Wright call you? I was like, I knew you put him up to it.
You're like, yeah, I humbled him. I hung up on him.
And so the next morning or the next night, I go to class and we're in the New Testament.
Did he try to call you back?
He did.
Okay.
I didn't answer.
Yeah.
So the next night we're in school and we're in the book of Jude. And for some reason, our professor gets on a tangent. He did it quite often. And he starts talking about Moses, and he tells the exact same thing. I've never heard that before. Like, I've never heard that.
Well, I just want to say this. I've never heard it until you mentioned it you know, a couple of weeks ago we were talking about it, and that got me thinking. That's a really prominent part of the story that I think a lot of people miss.
Yeah, just overlook it, right? It's not
because that bush, there was nothing special about the bush. No. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
So the next night I hear it, right? Something that you never hear. Right. And I'm like, all right.
It's kind of like those things in the Bible when they say it twice, you know, that it's important.
Oh, but there's more.
I know.
So then the next morning, Amber and I were doing a devotional together, and I'll be doggone if it wasn't the exact same thing. Again, I've never heard this.
It was in a devotion, like
it
written
was in the devotion the next morning. And so finally, I just closed it. We didn't finish it. We never finished that devotional. I closed it, and I said, all right, I'm just going to tell you. She said, okay. She's like, are we going to Africa? I was like, no, we're not going to. Because she's like really nervous at this point that I won't tell her. She's like, oh, I don't like mosquitoes and bugs.
It's India.
I was like, definitely no, it's Colombia. I was like, all right, I'm going to tell you. And I said, but it's really specific. And she's like, okay. So I said, well, God wants us to like be in ministry. And I'm really slow playing this out. And I said, but specifically like just for students. And she laughs like not just like a little chuckle, like a weirdly odd, ominous laugh. Yeah. It was like really weird that it's not that funny. But she just starts like exploding and laughing. I'm like, what is wrong with you? And she said, yeah, I knew like 6 months ago because God told me, but I knew if I told you, you wouldn't listen to me and you'd act exactly how you just acted.
Wow.
And so I was just waiting for you to tell me. And so we ended up having this conversation and kind of walked through it. And it was so specific in the way that God spoke to me. Like, I'm one of the few that this is not a pathway to a pulpit. I do not want to be a senior pastor. I'll never say what I'll never do. But I have no desire. Like, this is it for us. And God was so clear about that. And he put such a passion in our heart for this age group. So we go and we're like, all right, we're going to do this. We don't know how to do this. So we go talk to our pastor and the youth pastor that we were working with. And we're like, all right, this is what God told us to do. But like, what do we do? And so they were awesome, man. They really start working with us and kind of bringing us behind the curtain a little bit and helping us out. And I was like, all right, I'm going to get a resume together and I'm going to get me a job. Like this, we're going. So I put the worst ministry resume ever because, you know, I haven't done any ministry nor had I finished school. And I go to the website everyone would go to.
wait. You got to start with www.
So we go to Google and I'm like, all right, where do I put in a job for a youth pastor? It literally was, and you could go find this, www.hireayouthpastor.com.
Oh, my goodness.
That's an easier website than our email address.
It really is.
Wow. Yep. No dots in between all the
hire words. A youth pastor. Who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have thought? Not many, because there weren't many on there. So I put the worst resume ever out on hireayouthpastor.com, and we wait. And we wait, and nothing happens. As you would expect, when you put a resume on hireayouthpastor.com, nobody called. So we're just, you know, still growing and learning. And we're,
it's like the Craigslist in my mind. It's like the Craigslist really site.
I was thinking it was like farmer wants a wife or something. You know, it's like it's
probably closer to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Craigslist would have been a little too fancy for hireayouthpastor.com.
Yeah.
So we're just waiting and we're like, all right, in our mind, we're thinking some job around here is going to open up, like a new church or something's going to open up, and we're going to get involved right here in our own community.
In Georgia.
Yeah, right where we were, North Georgia. And then randomly we get this call from some dude in Wilmington, North Carolina, and he's like, hey, we just want to talk to you about this job. And I'm like,
oh, they were sitting around saying, how do we hire a youth pastor? And somebody Googled, how do I hire a youth pastor?
Apparently.
www.hireayouthpastor.com. Look at that. Let's look at this. And the only guy that's ever put something on there.
And the guy that created the one website created the other one. They're like linked together.
So we end up getting this call. It was weird how fast everything went, but yet it wasn't like, it didn't feel fast.
Rushed.
Wasn't uncomfortable.
No, it was. I mean, it was in a matter of maybe 2 or 3 months, and we were like selling a house and moving, which wasn't in our plan at all. Shutting down a business, selling a house, moving within 3 months, but it was just the right thing. You know, it didn't feel so rushed. I mean, the timing, just everything clicked exactly like it should, and so we go to our first church, and we have no idea what we're doing because, you know, the best thing we'd ever done was go to hireyouthpastor.com. So we had no idea. And then a year in, COVID hits. So we already didn't have a clue what we're doing. And now we're trying to figure out how to do it
remotely or whatever. Yeah.
So it's really just how all of this kind of works together. And then the skills that God taught us through that we were forced to learn.
Right.
I wasn't a super computer savvy guy. I mean, any more than an average guy my age was. God kind of, you know, forced us to learn things that he knew we were going to need later as we went forward. And so it was really cool how each step of the way, like he was just kind of putting these things in our path that, hey, you don't need this right now as much. But if you don't have this now, man, you're going to struggle later. So I'm going to go ahead and insert this in this moment. And really we've seen through ministry, like he has uniquely prepared us through good and some very, very, very difficult things for exactly where the next place or the next step was going to require us to have. And we saw that all the way through in Wilmington. We moved 3 years in. We recognized that, you know, hey, God was calling us back home to Georgia. And it was, we had seen a lot of numerical success in Wilmington, in a very urban type of place, very urban setting. We go to a very, very different type of place. We're at a very traditional church. They didn't quite have pews in the balcony. They still did. So
okay,
pretty traditional
choir robes.
Actually they were baptizing in the robes still. We brought the t-shirts with us.
Nice.
Don't those robes get kind of heavy?
I don't know. I've never worn one.
I mean, it's kind of dangerous.
And the waders under them.
I mean, that's gotta be a hazard. I digress.
But just watching the way that God has worked on our hearts, on our marriage.
Well, he was preparing, you know, you went to Wilmington for a reason. Got a lot of training and preparation for the next move, and then
and the uniqueness of both places were like we learned more from the negative than even the positive. And things that had we not made the first stop, we would have never learned.
Right. That's what I mean.
Ever. And even our last stop, like a whole different side of things that we needed.
That's right.
Like we had gotten from the numerical success that we saw, we had gotten like, okay, we're figuring this out. And God had to show us, no, you're not. It's not about you.
Right.
And he had to really step us back and bring us back to a place that says, no, it's not about you figuring it out. It's about you pursuing me.
That's good.
And let me do the work because you're not saving anybody.
Right.
Right. If you're counting on Philip Nathan to save you, you're in trouble.
Right.
And so it was just the way that he used those different spots. And we wholeheartedly believe that both of those really were to uniquely prepare us for where we are now. Because as we prayed, I remember as we were leaving our last spot, I told my boss, I was like, hey, we really feel like God is telling us this. And he said, well, first of all, don't ever tell your senior pastor that you're thinking that. And I was like, well, you know, it is what it is. And I said, I feel like that. I don't know where, but I feel like that he's saying it's time. And we, through our experience, we were so specific. Like even my mom was like, all right, dude, you got to calm down on how specific you're being. But we were like, God, this is our desire. Like we really desire these things, even to the community we wanted to raise our kids in, even those things. And the type of staff we wanted to be around that would help us to grow, that we could build those relationships with, the type of church, the people. And even Amber said, and this is the funniest thing because we weren't looking in Tennessee at all. And Amber randomly was like, you know, I'd really like to live in Tennessee. I'm like, all right, I guess we'll just pray for Tennessee on the list. And literally like a couple weeks later, I get this email from some dude in West Tennessee. It's like, hey, we saw your resume this time, not on hireyouthpastor.com.
Did we go on hireyouthpastor.com?
No, we were on the Baptist boards this
Phillip's
time.
Right? I was going to say, Phillip's like the sole user on that site now still.
Yeah, I exhausted everyone on there. All two churches, I worked at them. Yeah. So that's...
It's like, we got to keep this website up. There's one guy out there that's still using
this guy, if he ever needs a job again.
That's awesome, man. That's wild.
Well, I'm going to tell you this from a parent with a daughter in the age group that you were called to minister to. You and your family are an answer to prayer. And I'm not saying that in the sense of that who we had was wrong or not, but they're right. calling, they have a calling for something. And we love Connor to death, and he has a calling to go and start a church. And that he was, you know, kind of the same thing as you were telling your pastor that you felt this, you know, that there's something, you're being called somewhere, you don't know where yet.
Right.
He's had that conversation.
Right.
All of that's on purpose. When you start right. looking at these things and the way they intersect and interchange and the timing of all that,
yeah.
I mean, it's chills because none of that's by accident. But I have a daughter who's in middle school getting ready to go into high school. I pray for a leader to come to our church who is passionate because, look, I'll tell you this. I think that's the most important ministry there is, yeah. in my opinion.
Well, I would agree.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I know. And
but it's that age of authenticity, right, where you go from mom and dad's faith to making a choice.
It has to be your faith. That's right. And then mm-hmm. just the impact that that will have on the rest of their life and the generations that come from them, it is a huge, pivotal part of their life. And so just to say that you and your family and are an answer to prayer. Yeah. And I've already seen a difference in my daughter just coming on the nights that there's activities, whereas before she wouldn't or didn't want to, or, you know, mm-hmm. it's just small things like that. And they'll start building on that. But
well, I think too, to your point, right. It's because Connor has a calling, right, to do what you mentioned too. And then Connor in his own way also was learning a lot through COVID years and all that. Like that was just a yeah. weird time. And I'm sure you can attest to that where you're like, man, and so coming out of COVID, that's
none
where you
of us
saw
knew
a lot
what we were doing.
Yeah. And then you saw a bunch of stuff opening up like after COVID and all that stuff. So, I would say I look back and go, man, like it was even gracious of the Lord to provide that season and how Connor and his bride, you know, handled that as well. And so it's like this, there's this weird blimp of a year there, right? Where, and now you see coming out of it, where like there's all these other things set up where, think about it, right? If you're Connor, right, and now going on to do a church plant, like there's things I guarantee you that he's put in the toolkit of a Connor to be like, hey, you're going to need this for when you go do a church plant. Just like you mentioned with, hey, here's this thing you're going to need from right now for later. And even that shows God's grace and mercy to be like, hey, I'm going to give you things that you don't know why you need it yet, but it's going to make sense when it pops up.
And there's so much of that.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many things that it's like, man, 3, 4, 5, 6 years later, all of a sudden you're like, oh.
There it is.
That's why.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why.
Justin, you can relate to that too.
Yeah. Oh, I talk about it all the time, man. Like there's seasons that you walk through. And to your point, you know, you learn a lot, not just in the joyous moments, but also the trials and the tough times. And remember a pastor I was watching for a Sunday school lesson we were preparing. He had mentioned how, you know, sometimes we're in that valley and like revival can happen there. Not necessarily talking about salvation, but just a revival of, you know, kind of that fire for the Lord where it's like, sometimes we think about being in the valley and it's like, man, my circumstances don't make sense. I love you. I thought you were good. And it's like, no, he is good. So even in the valley, he's with us. He doesn't leave us, but revival can even happen there. And you're like, man, you can get really motivated and spurred on by what's going on in the seasons.
So often that, and we actually talked about this at our last service with the students, that, you know, prosperity and comfort often bring out the worst in us spiritually, but discomfort and pain often bring out the best, right? That's when we recognize how much more that we need God, and when we really lean into him in some of those ways that sometimes we don't during success.
Yeah.
And that's when we're more moldable for him. And I think that's why he allows a lot of that for us. For me, I know, because that's sometimes I need that just to remind myself, hey, I just need to be clay.
Yeah. Comfort can bring complacency for sure. And man, I love how you kind of also weave into your story, which rightly so, just your wife's input in it too and her discernment. Because man, if y'all were not on the same page desiring the Lord, I mean, there'd definitely be some conflict of, man, are you sure of that? Or I don't know about, like, you know, so that's always a beautiful thing.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to say that, and that just reminded me.
Yeah, but I just said it.
No, you did, and, and rightfully so, but I was just going to say it better. But no, I don't want that part of the story to be, not that you breezed it over, but people listen to it, and like, at first, you just kind of breeze over. She knew she already had felt what God's calling was on your family, mm-hmm. but she allowed the Lord to work in your life instead of trying to fix or, you know, insert her.
You can say fix me.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, well, whatever it is. But how, men, how we have the we're more prone to do that. We want to get in and fix things. We want to get in and be the Holy Spirit. We want to be and tell, point out, you know, where people should do something, whatever it is.
Well, and let me tell you this about my wife, because I do want to mention this, that of the two of us, she has proven the most faithful through all of this.
Yeah.
In our first stop, just to be transparent, I didn't handle my family well. I put way too much into the church and often didn't give the attention that they deserved. Mm-hmm. And she has been faithful beyond faithful in those seasons, yeah. and has never wavered on the call despite the things that I remember having to sit down when we left Wilmington at a kitchen table and apologize to my wife in front of my daughters. And I never want to do that again for sacrificing my family on the altar of ministry. Yet she was the one that when I said, do we need to take a break? She said, no, let's keep going. And let's go to the next spot. Mm-hmm. She has been incredibly faithful through this, yeah. and we do ministry together.
Right.
This isn't something that I can do.
Right.
Our family does ministry together, yeah. and she is at least an equal part, at least.
Yeah. But I think that's a good lesson in there, mm-hmm. too, for all of us. When we know that our partners are praying about something, that we join them in that prayer, but we allow the Lord to do his work.
Yeah.
And sit back. And that's when I've found, you know, when I try to insert myself, it always messes up. So
for sure.
So, hey, real quick. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
You had something serious. I have something not serious. So you go first.
No, I'll wrap up with this.
Okay. Well, before you wrap.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're talking about COVID. Mm-hmm. So here's a picture of our friend Jeff doing. I took this photograph from the TV when they're doing church at home, and then I made a meme out of it. But here, look.
Come on. Read it out. Read it out, Philip.
The face you make when you have to come in on your day off.
So yeah. You've seen that picture, right?
Yeah.
So it's Jeff on the TV doing a service. He is sitting He is sitting next to the pastor with like the Debbie Downer face of defeat, like he is like there is no facial muscles. You know, he is.
We joked that, like, you know, before everybody knew what was going on with COVID, like Jeff was going around still trying to engage like the kids ministry, not the youth part, and he was like going around like doing games, and whoever won the thing, he'd drop off prizes, and it had like balloons to the bag and stuff. I was like, dude, you're going around like passing little COVID balloons out. Like, you can't just keep doing this. And was a weird fun time in a weird way. I think, Philip, you know, obviously not here for part one, part two, but listen in. I think what's really cool is a lot of it comes to mind, and something I read in a devotional today, and it was talking about, for those of you that don't know, there's the story of the woman at the well, and this lady meets Jesus, and she essentially, you know, she thinks she's going to provide this literal drink of water. And I'm paraphrasing this from Alistair Begg's devotional. Really finds out that she's discovered that not only is she encountering Christ, but like he's going to provide for her like living water that will essentially point to, you know, an eternity, right? Like life-changing stuff. Right. And so what I hear in your story and also Amber's story, because it's y'all's story that the Lord is using you guys to do a work. This statement said this, it says, every one of us digs figurative wells all over the place that will never truly satisfy. Jeremiah 2:13, it says, our careers, our marriages, our friendships, our families, our wealth, our next vacation, or whatever experiences give us that high, but they all leave us thirsty for more. We'll keep digging and drinking until we are confronted by our real need, that our sin needs to be cleansed and forgiven, our desires need to be transformed, and our hearts need to be filled with Jesus. So, man, when I read that, and I knew we were doing this tonight, and obviously hearing a part of your story, man, I see that in y'all's testimony towards the Lord, and that y'all have absolutely, like, you know, you've given up a job, right, mm-hmm. a career, a business that you had, you know, and letting the Lord work there and do all these things. And you're like, hey, like God's called us to do this thing. And so, man, it's a testimony how God is faithful. He's gracious. He's merciful. Yeah. And he's patient with us when we don't want to, you know, we don't want to tell someone what we heard him say or, you know, or immediately give in. But man, just seeing the joy in y'all's face and how y'all are with people, I think it's absolutely evident that y'all are doing exactly what the Lord has for y'all, and others will be blessed and encounter the Lord through it. So, man.
And just like we learned about in the last part of Joel, the book, we're so thankful that he is so patient.
Yeah.
And so long-suffering and loving. So, well, hey, I think this is, look, I think we're going to get a lot of people want Philip to be on more often. We might have to get us a fourth microphone. I would say that, but are you going to be back?
I'm going to be back. It's just,
yes.
I probably need to get a new mic stand if we get Philip like a legit mic stand.
We told you, you've got to get a new mic stand.
Yeah.
That's why we put you.
Yeah. I'll take the old mic stand if I can get a not squeaky chair.
Well, look, you can have that chair over there. Yeah, like,
there's another one there. Yeah. We got to make it happen.
So we need to make it happen. All right, y'all. Thank you all so much for listening. Send us an email. Thank you, Philip. Thanks, everybody. Peace.